Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me in this episode will be Scott Tanfield from Friends of Fulham. This episode, we're going to start by discussing the breaking news, and that is that Fulham have signed Lucas Piazon on a season-long loan from Chelsea. We will talk about that. Later on, we'll be discussing the latest in transfer speculation. But before I do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. It's been a while. Mr. Tanfield, how you doing?
Very good, Mr. Goldman. You?
I am doing well. I look forward to doing this show with you. It's been a while since we've talked.
It has. I think, you know, sort of work, commitments, everything been in the way, you know, the close season or whatever, but got myself a bit of time, so looking forward to being back on.
Yes, listen, it's always great to have you on, Scott, and I definitely look forward to talking to you about different things. Like I mentioned, we're going to start talking about Lucas Piazon, but there's a good amount of transfer speculation, and we're going to play a little game called Where in the World is Diego Rolan? When we talk about transfer speculation, because it's been a bizarre situation. We'll talk about that in a bit, but let's start with the breaking news. We are recording this Friday night in England, and it is the return of Lucas Piazon to Fulham on a season-long loan. He spent last season with Fulham, but now he's returning. Just your opening thoughts of Piazon returning to Fulham.
I think it was always going to be a possibility. I think he's one of them players that's full of energy. He's a fan's favourite. You know, he huffs and he puffs and he shows a lot of heart. I always thought at some point you probably would be seeing him again. I think the question for most would be, you know, would we have actually spent money on him and made him a permanent fixture? I would have said no, because I feel that the money would have been spent in better areas. But if
I agree with you.
I'm just saying. But I think if we had the option to bring him back on loan, I think it would have been the ideal situation all round, to be honest with you, Russ.
Yeah, listen, I think this is good, Scott, because I think you need players like Lucas Piazon. And the one thing that I wanted to mention to you, you've already talked about it, is his passion for the fans, his passion for the club. I don't think you get that with every player in every team. You see that with Lucas Piazon. He wanted to come back. Scott, I think that's a very good thing for Fulham. Listen, is he going to be starting every match? Absolutely not. Is he going to be a part of what they do this season? Yes. I think you need players like this. Is he a squad player? Possibly, but I think he's a little bit more than that. But for me, what sold me on Lucas Piazon coming back is his passion, Scott.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like you said, is he going to start every game? Possibly not. You know, is he going to be starting a handful of games? Possibly not. Is it going to be, you know, a couple of sub appearances, possibly. I think his drive and motivation, his passion will get you important goals. And I think he's someone that you can throw on that can cause a little bit of bother for teams, you know. He's not the greatest that we've seen at the club, but from that aspect, I think it's a good move, especially alone, you know.
Right. I think the loan part of this is what's key. That you've already said this. If it was a permanent deal, I don't know if I would be good with that. I think you can spend your money in different ways. I think a loan deal works for all parties here, and we'll take it from there. Go ahead, Scott.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, yeah, I think it works. It works better for all parties, really. I mean, the bottom line is I think he was in the last year of his contract with Chelsea anyway. And I think if he comes on loan with us, and for argument's sake, he had an absolute stormer, we would be picking up as cheap as chips. So I can see what Chelsea have done there as well. You know, they're covering their backsides, you know?
Sure, absolutely there, my friend. All right, let's talk about another Chelsea player. Let's now move to talk about transfer speculation. And this is a player that I want back at Fulham. When I first saw the news about Lucas Piazon, the first thing that went in my brain was, well, what about Tomas Kalas? There's a bunch of speculation. This has been going on for a while, Scott. What are your thoughts about this? Is this something that you want to see? Now, let's talk about how you'd want to see it. Do you think Chelsea would send him back to Fulham on loan? Does Fulham need to buy him? Where do you see this situation, and how would you like to see Fulham pursue Tomas Kalas? I think there's something going on there. There is speculation with him. What are your thoughts about the situation with Tomas Kalas?
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of different stories about the situation. I mean, this is one that's dragged on. I mean, the talk that we sort of agreed personal terms with him at the end of the season. Player wants to come. You know, there have been stories that Chelsea's preferred option was to send him to Hull. Obviously, right. The guy being friends with Abramovich there. Player refusing outright. You know, we going to Chelsea or having discussions and asking, you know, for a price, and Chelsea being ridiculous with that price. I think the latest being that it's him refusing point blank that he wants to leave. But then it's Chelsea being ridiculous with certain add-ons. It's making the deal not very kind of, you know, cost effective for us. And I think that's what the delays are. But that's the latest anyway. But it's like anything, Russ. I mean, the speculation is ongoing. Right. We don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. So I think, you know, Kallas away from Piazon is a completely different player. And if you were seeing him back at the club, you'd certainly want him on a permanent deal. He's young, lots of progression there. And he is another asset that you would want to spend money on, you know?
Right. And that's the way I'm looking at it. I would want this to be a permanent deal. And let me ask you, Scott, do you want him back at Fulham? Do you think he is key to the center back pairing? Do you need him back? I mean, as a fan, do you think he is good enough as a center back? You know, obviously we have Tim Ream. Would you be comfortable with it being Tim Ream and Kallas if he comes back?
Definitely. I think that proved last season that the games that he was injured where we suffered and leaked goals again. I feel that Kallas is, you know, he's an important part of the team this season moving forward. You know, he went through this this playoff defeat with us. I think he's going to be eager, you know, chomping it a bit to come back. And again, with him, he's probably got sort of business that's unfinished there. I like his composure on the ball. He's a bit of a leader at the back. He's got one of the calmest heads in the side under pressure. But I still don't think, you know, that's the end of it. I still think we can improve even more on that back line. You know, Kallas and one other, I think.
Okay. Because I'm there with you. Listen, I know that they brought in the other center back, and I just saw him in one preseason match, and let's just say he's a big kid, and we'll see if he can work out. But I still think that they need to bring in another center back. I agree with you there, Scott. Let's keep the focus on defense. Let's talk about the goalkeeper situation. I find this fascinating because there's speculation about both goalkeepers, Marcus Bettinelli and David Budden. Let's start with talking about the speculation about Bettinelli. What are your thoughts about him? Do you want to see him stay at the club as well?
I mean, this is a difficult one, Russ, to be honest with you, because you look at social media, you look on the forums, you know, and you're always getting this argument week in, week out, who's the better goalkeeper, you know, and it's either Button or it's Bettinelli. Bettinelli's the better shot stopper. Button's, you know, the better technical goalkeeper. You know, and this argument goes on and on and on. I would agree with some that Bettinelli, as a kind of a shot stopper, is, you know, is a much better goalkeeper. Sort of maybe commands his little, you know, his area a little bit better than Button did. You know, but his kicking, you know, wasn't that great. And I have to look at the two on a whole and think to myself, you know, if you're really going to push for promotion this season, if it was one of the positions that you really, you know, needed to improve on, apart from the striker situation, I would say that it would be your goalkeeper. And I've always said, you know, I've got nothing against Bettinelli. He's been at the club a long time. He's a half decent goalkeeper, but this is business at the end of the day. It's football, and unfortunately, I feel it's a position that if we can get a quality goalkeeper in there, then I think that move has got to happen.
See, I'm right there with you, Scott. I've got nothing against Marcus Bettinelli. I thought he played well at the end of the season. I do, and listen, he's coming up through the system with Fulham through the academy, and he's done a nice job. But if we're serious about promotion, if we're serious about going back to the Premier League, we need upgrades. And one of the positions we need an upgrade on is goalkeeper. So I'm not against getting an upgrade there, Scott, but if they're going to let one of these guys go, I feel that they have to have one coming in the pipeline.
Definitely. I mean, there's speculation now that it could be the pair of them that are going. I mean, you've got Bettinelli and Button with speculation.
Right.
Would I be bothered if both of them went? I mean, neither's going to play fiddle. We know that. They're going to want first-team football. So I think if you are going to bring an upgrade, you're probably going to risk losing, I think, probably the pair of them because they both come in or wanted the number one position.
Right.
It could be the case of Bettinelli goes to Bristol City and, for argument's sake, Button may go to Nottingham Forest. So you could possibly find yourself getting an upgrade in that position and bringing in somebody else to play second fiddle.
I'm glad that you brought that up because it's an interesting situation. Would you lose both of them if you brought in a starting goalkeeper? You're probably onto something. You might. It's a very good point. But let's talk about Button, because he was the starting goalkeeper for most of the season. And he did look nervous. I'm not going to lie about this. He looked nervous at times when he was trying to play the ball out from the back, and it just did not look right. And I think that was under instruction from Jokanović. So let me ask you, what are your thoughts about Button? How comfortable would you be if he's still one of our two goalkeepers?
I was slightly miffed when we got him in the first place, Russ. I thought this is a bit of an odd, buy. I just didn't see Button as something that we'd actually go looking for. Now, looking at Jokanović's career at Watford and at Tel Aviv, he likes a sweeper type keeper,
right.
A goalkeeper that doesn't mind coming to the end of his area, playing with his feet, but he's also a good shot stopper. We see that with Gomez at Watford. And I looked at Button and a few other people did, and I just thought myself, what a strange appointment. It was... I just knew he wasn't going to be comfortable with it when he came to us, and it kind of worked out like that throughout the season. He would do okay, but there would be games where, he was really under pressure and his confidence got knocked. And as soon as that happened, he had mares,
Yep.
That Derby game, Christ, I don't even know what he was doing rolling that ball out. That's kind of child stuff, I don't know what he was thinking there, but that kind of killed it for him. And then obviously Bettinelli stepped in, done a job towards the end of the season. And again, we got where we got, but I think the whole thing, will be sort of looked at again.
It's an interesting situation right now, because when you see all the speculation on both of them, you got to think, well, they must be thinking about bringing in a replacement, an upgrade. That's what I think is going on. But I haven't really seen any names linked to us. I've only seen links to goalkeepers going out, but Fulham like to keep their business under wraps, so maybe there's something going on that we're not picking up on yet, which is a possibility. But this is a position, Scott, that I definitely think that they need to upgrade. I have nothing against either one of these goalkeepers. If you're asking me which one I prefer, it's Bettinelli. But if you're giving me an upgrade, I'm taking it, Scott.
Yeah, if you've got an experienced goalkeeper that's coming in that we know that can steady your back line, you always build from the back. Your defence is only going to be as confident as your goalkeeper is. And I felt throughout the season, whether it's been Button or even when Bettinelli come back and, constant balls after ball being hit in the touch every single time, no accuracy on anything. And it's not the system we play. And you look at that and think to yourself, if we are going to improve this season, we're going to compete up at that top with some of them decent size in. We do need a decent goalkeeper that's confident, that can command an area, that's good at distribution. Yes, we're asking for a lot, but there are goalkeepers out there that can do that.
Absolutely. All right, Scott, let's now talk about some more speculation. But before we do that, to set up the speculation, because there is speculation with a left back, I want to get your thoughts on that. Before I do that, I want to get your thoughts on Scott Malone. Scott Malone is now at Huddersfield Town. What are your thoughts about Fulham selling him? I didn't see this happening, but it happened fairly quickly. And he is now at Huddersfield Town. What are your thoughts about him moving on to the Premier League and his time at Fulham?
Yeah, I heard a murmur about this a couple of weeks before it was going to happen. And it was the same time that someone said to me, be prepared, we're going to end up losing Malone and Fredericks. And I thought myself, rubbish. Probably two of the most settled players in the side. It's part of the system. Great pace down the left and the right. I thought myself, Huddersfield were mentioned, and I thought myself, rubbish, not going to happen. Might be tied. One day, the speculation turns into reality and he's now gone. Firstly, I'd like to say congratulations to him. I think in a situation, it's something that you can't turn down throughout his career. If you've got the opportunity of Premiership football at least once, you're going to take it, Russ. That was a problem we had this season, that by missing out on the playoffs, it would be going to be easy pickings for other teams. It was a great bit of business from Cardiff, swapping him for Jazz Richards. He come in and, a lot of people are like, Christ, Scott Malone, who the bloody hell was this? And he proved all of us wrong. He kind of owned that position. The more he fought with Sessegnon, the better he got. Watching him against Huddersfield when I went up to there that game of the season when he absolutely tore them a new one. I've never seen a left-back do that in a long, long time, But you look at it and you think yourself, $3.5 million for him. And apparently, Russ, we got that cash up front as well. No add-ons. And for me, when I look at it, Scott Malone, do you get that again out of him for another season? Does he get the opportunity to play in the Premiership again? Is he replaceable? And you weigh all them options up, and the club's got to be sort of saying to themselves, it's a great bit of business,
Yeah.
And again, I think it's another position that you could probably either sort of cover or you can probably improve in, taking nothing away from Scott, cracking player. He gave us a great season this season. A lot of excitement, banging some goals, and he really did sort of frighten some defences. But it's happened, we move on, and again it's another position we've got to strengthen in.
I agree with your assessment here. And what's interesting, it is a good piece of business. And when you have that opportunity, I don't blame the club for taking it. I don't blame Scott Malone for getting the opportunity and taking it by going to the Premier League. I think that's a good opportunity for him. And it's a tough one to turn down. So all around, I think it's the right thing for everyone. You take the money. And just remember, this started off with Jazz Richards. You turned Jazz Richards into this money, Scott. And that to me is something that you can now use to, we're talking about potentially upgrade Fulham Football Club. You take it. And listen, we already have Ryan Sessegnon there, but you also have an opportunity if you want to bring in another player. We're going to talk about him in a second. And just some speculation on a player, but it just shows me that they're looking at the left back position. I think that they do need to bring in another player. So let's talk about this right now. There is speculation that I think I just saw today with a left back from Bordeaux in France. His name is Maxime Pounge. I'm probably saying that wrong. But the reason why I want to bring him up, Scott, is that I think it's positive that we're linked to a left back. But I also find it interesting, curious, that he's also with the team that we're linked to that has a striker that we're looking into. So I find that fascinating. What are your thoughts about this link to this Bordeaux left back?
Well, I mean, looking at the situation, I mean, sort of looking at the fans' reaction, everything, again, through social media and stuff like that. So, oh, we've lost Scott Malone, that's it. We've only got like a Doyle who can move over there, or Sessegnon's not ready yet, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I forgot to mention Sessegnon. I mean, in the back of Scott Malone's mind, you've also got Sessegnon, who's now signed a new contract to the club, so he knows that he's going to be further up his backside in regards to that position. So, probably one of the other options that's made Scott Malone want to move on, And like I said, if the club felt that positive about keeping a player, he was under contract, they would have kept him. They would have done a McDonald and slapped a £7 million sort of price on his head, or even thought about giving him a contract extension. But they felt comfortable enough to let him go for the money, Russ. But as always, he's gone. The club are not stupid. They've been in the business a long time. Well, the club. But at the end of the day, they're not just going to leave that left back position in the current state that it is. They know that Sessegnon's too raw. They know that Odoi is not going to be, the long term answer there. So naturally, they are going to go out and try and buy another left back. And it's like the club to do something like this. I mean, we always pick up a red herring online about, transfer speculation, and we all get the ump and we throw our toys out of the pram, and so it doesn't happen. But it wouldn't be against it if the club, knowing them, have actually been in conversation with Bordeaux and possibly negotiating a deal for the pair of these guys. It might not even be Roden that comes, it'll probably end up being the left back or something, and we've been completely misled,
Boy, it's an interesting situation, but I was encouraged just to see the link, Scott. Because I was thinking, well, what's going on here? And it's something that we talked about on the show. Listen, we don't know what was said to Ryan Sessegnon to get him to sign. And thoughts went in my mind, well, was he told certain things to make him sign that contract? Meaning that he was, I'm not saying that he was guaranteed the job of left back, but that he was given some kind of certainties that he would be playing regularly. Does that make sense?
It
That's what
does.
was going through my mind.
It does, or even that. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, I know a couple of people that work for the academy in bits and pieces, so I'm always talking to them. And Sessegnon's always been slightly different to some of the others that we've had, like Roberts, whose parents were Liverpool fans. Dembele, he French, he had connections with PSG and stuff like that. Whereas you look at Sessegnon, or you look at both brothers, and they come from a very tight knit. Sort of family. I believe the family are either sort of Fulham fans or they've been with the club a long time. So have the boys.
Right.
I think, honestly, for once, Russ, we've got a typical example here of a youngster actually keeping his feet on the ground, At 17, 16, 17 years of age, knowing that he's got time to progress. And
Very
he's been looked
mature.
after well for them. And, you know, whether he spends another year here, 2 years, you know, you could see a £30 million player there. But for once, I think we've had a youngster that's got his feet firmly on the ground. He's been advised right. And even if he only plays still another hatful of games this season, he's got the opportunity to break in, get himself more game time and become probably twice a player that he will be if he goes off to something like Manchester City or somebody that goes to sit on the bench, you know?
Right. And that's why I think that he's mature to make this. This is a tough decision. He's got all these teams after him and he decides to stay. But it also got me just to think, Scott, when he's signing on the dotted line, you know, was there a conversation about playing time? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I have no idea. I'm just thinking,
oh, of course. Yeah,
you know,
of course.
You know, did that come across, you know, because to get that kid to sign, you know, it's an interesting situation. He is such a hot property. I'm just glad that he came back. You know, and it was going to be difficult possibly on Scott Malone, like you said. You know, Scott Malone sees that he's signed up and then thinking, okay, well, what does that mean for me? So that then opens up an opportunity to potentially do something else. And what's interesting about Sessegnon, and I just want your thoughts on this as well, here we are talking about a left back, and we talked about this on the show as well. His future might be further up the pitch, Scott.
Well, it could be. I mean, that's what I was going to say next is that, you know, are we going to use him as a direct sort of left wing back or, you know, is he going to be used as kind of more of a left winger? I think from last season, I think, you know, the system's probably going to change slightly. I think we're going to have a few more quicker players in the side. So I'll be interested to see, you know, where he's going to fit in because I'm still, you know, he's still raw. He's still a young talent. He's not going to start every game. I mean, you know, he's a player, I think, that's going to be playing maybe sort of half the games this season. But it'd be interesting to see. I really can't call this one, Russ. I mean, he could come in and have an absolute stormer and make that position his own. Or, you know, it might be the case where he's nurtured for another year and breaks in sort of to the tail end of the season, you know?
It'll be interesting to see what his role is. Will it grow in year two with Fulham Football Club, or will it just be a this slow progression, you know, like it was in year one? Maybe we'll see a little bit more. It'll be interesting to see how Savisa uses him and nurtures him. And that's what's interesting about this, Scott. It's something that I thought as well, and this still goes back to the left-back position, because we saw all the complaints. You know, I saw it on social media when we made the swap for Scott Malone. And it's something that Mike Gregg said. Mike Gregg actually said to me that he thought this is the right time to sell Scott Malone, that this was going to be probably the best he is. We saw his best season, potentially.
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing, but Mike was pretty much going, this is probably the best he's going to be. So then I'm thinking, well, why was he the best he could be? Does the coaching staff, Savisa Yukanovic, play a role in this? And does he play a role in some of these players staying, like Sessegnon, that they can grow in their game? You know, how much of a factor do you think Savisa is in this team improving?
Well, I've always said, I mean, we're probably going to touch on something that's a little bit more raw here again with a lot of fans. And, you know, I'm, you know, and last season, we always get this about, you know, we had a great summer, this, that. Yeah, I mean, we did. I mean, we brought in 14 wholesale changes, but, you know, we never completed the job. I mean, we were still buying players, you know, when the season had started. You know, the striker was in on the last day, for God's sake. You know, so the whole scenario rolled on and on. You know, we had players coming in late. You know, I mean, Jock and Ivy, we didn't have a great start to the season apart from that Newcastle game. We had that little bit of a run, but then we sort of fell back. And, you know, the whole system and everything else, I personally feel was down to Djokanovic and the majority of the games that we won and beat teams. You know, he is a tactician. Don't get me wrong, he gets it wrong sometimes, but every game that you go into, you know, he has a type of game plan, and that game plan is to score more goals than you. You know, and that's some of the football we see this season. And again, you know, we just fell short again, I think, at the end of the season because, you know, I think we lacked in the January transfer window buying that striker. I think if we had them strategic buys in there, we probably could have pushed a little bit more, had a little bit more of a chance. But it wasn't to be, and that was that.
Right.
So coming back to the Scott Malone thing, you know, and I know Mike and he will agree as well, we don't agree on everything when it comes to football. We're quite chalk and cheese sometimes, but I would agree with him on this. I don't think you're going to see another season from Scott Malone like that. I think at the time, it was a great move because everyone was peed off with Jazz Richards. They wanted him to go. So, in effect, he came in as a kind of a saviour, a bit of an unknown quantity, but, you know, he was a character. You know, he was born into, he had married into a Fulham family. You know, he had a bit of charisma about him. And for me, I think he kind of, because of his pace and everything else, he settled in and sat in quite quickly to a Djokanovic-type system that allowed him to attack as a player. But what a lot of fans don't kind of notice is that a lot of his defensive frailties were a problem. And there were times when he did get caught out or a lot of his products were, you know, sort of going off, you know, to other players. And the amount of times that McDonald had to drop back and get him out of trouble, you know. So they're the little things that you notice. And I think Mike's right. $3.5 million up front. You know, he's never going to get this opportunity to go to Premier League again. We're never going to get this opportunity to get $3.5 million for a player like him. Best deal all round for both parties. And we can move on from it.
Yes, and that's what's good about this. But Scott, I'm glad that you mentioned this. And there's no issue with us talking about this. I think it's fair to say that his offensive capability moving forward, I think, might have covered up his defensive issues. And I'm glad that you brought that up. It doesn't mean that he did a terrible job. It just means that the part of his game that shined covered up a little bit some of the defensive problems he had. That's fair, isn't it?
I do agree. And I mean, you know, I mean, I keep saying about that game up at Huddersfield. Frightened me, Russ, you know, and he was on my team, you know. I feared for Huddersfield that day. And,
that was great, by the way.
I don't know whether the team just clicked. So whether the team just clicked or, you know, but especially from that position, I mean, he had a game and a half.
He was great in that game.
Yeah. And that was some of his qualities. Don't get me wrong, you know, I've got nothing against the lad. He'll move on, and I wish him all the best at Huddersfield. Different league, you know, we noticed that when we played Tottenham at home. But he's earned that opportunity. He had a cracking season, and I can only wish him all the best.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. I wish Scott Malone the best, and I don't want this to come off as taking a shot at him. I'm just trying to be honest here and just say, listen, this is a good season for him, and I wish him the best, and he was a good player for us, and let's just move on, and I think it's fair to assess him the way you did, the way I just did there, but I mean, overall, all the best to Scott Malone. All right, Scott, let's talk about where in the world is Diego Rolan. We have to talk about this because this has been a soap opera over the course of a week. We've all seen the speculation on social media. It's been everywhere. And I've been seeing it. It's been a crazy situation, my friend. You know, I see something on Twitter, a picture of him at Wimbledon. So obviously he was here. I think we can establish that Diego Rolan at some point this week was, I should say, at Motspur Park at Fulham Football Club. What do you make of this whole thing here, Scott? And do you think he's the striker that we need here?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know a lot about him. I know of him, but, I mean, he's not spectacular. His goal scoring isn't spectacular. And I really don't see what the fuss is all about, to be honest. He either wants to come or he doesn't. He knows or he will know what our aim is for this season. You know, if we don't achieve it, then you've got something written in your contract. You catch somebody's eye in the Premier League, you go. We sell you for more money or we get our money back. I think the fear that we've got here with the player himself is that I think that he might get himself on a bad foot before he's even started at Fulham Football Club because he's coming across as a bit of a princess, to be honest with you. You know, not sure, flying to and from, you know, sort of sitting at Wimbledon, you know, if he's sort of having hospitality from Fulham, can't make his mind up. You know, and like you say, he's been everywhere. He's been at Wimbledon. He's apparently been down at Motspur last Tuesday having a medical. You know, he's Djokanovic flew back to talk to him. He's gone back. He's been seen clearing out his locker. You know, the only place he hasn't been, Russ, is around my flat. You know, but there's still time for that. And I don't know. I mean, this is a typical, you know, this is a typical one that's going to drive people insane. Yes. You're going to have Fulham fans
driving me insane.
Even at this time tonight, you're going to have fans pressing refresh on their laptop, on their Twitter feeds, you know, trying to get some snippet of information. And then you'll get some French media saying, no, he's not coming to us, he's going to Newcastle. And another one saying, no, he's not going to Newcastle, he's signing for Fulham. And it's just been going on and on like
it's
that, Russ.
Crazy. It is insane, Scott. And the bottom line, and this has been my whole thing about this, I don't know enough about him. You know, I've watched the videos just like everyone else. I've done the research. I've looked at the numbers. They're okay. They're average. I don't think that they're spectacular goal-scoring numbers. Okay, they're average. But he's also playing at Bordeaux, a good club in Ligue 1. Okay, so I get that. And but I don't know if he's the right player. My whole thing is, if they do bring him in, let's just hope he's the right striker, because we need a proper striker in here. We need a goal scorer. And the club believes that it's him and he wants to come, so be it. But Scott, you brought up a good point, and I'm going to back you on this. There are a couple things that stopped us from progressing, and that was a goal scorer. That was a goal scorer in January. You know, it just didn't happen. Yes, they brought in Cyriac, but Cyriac obviously didn't turn out to be the striker that they needed. He barely played. I saw glimpses of him, you know, and the glimpse I thought was encouraging, but it wasn't the striker that they needed, Scott, at the time they needed it.
It was too similar to Cabano and other players that we've got. I mean, all you've done was, you know, when you wanted a Glenn Murray type sort of striker or something like that.
See, that's what I want, actually.
Yeah, we went and got Cyriac, who is a similar player to Cabano and Ayite and Aluko, and he was never, you know, he was never going to force his way in the team. I mean, too similar in the way that he played, and you're sort of covering a problem with a problem there, Russ. You know. And I've got the same problem with this Roland. I mean, he's not the end.
Scott, he seems like the same type of player.
He does, but I think he's got more striker attributes to him. But that's what I'm saying to you, Russ. We're wasting, or whether we're wasting time, we don't really know until it's finalised or what's gone on behind the scenes. But we are still, he is still not the end game. We still need another striker of a Matt type essence or a Glenn Murray type essence that could adapt or come straight into the Championship, that can sort of, you know, blend into the fold and get your goals, you know, on a dirty Tuesday night up at Burton when it's not working. So I just hope that he isn't the end game, and we have got other options out there, because I would like to see a couple of strikers come in, but of a different calibre, you know?
I agree. Listen, I totally agree with you, Scott. You and I are definitely in agreement here. You know, I want them to bring in, you brought up Glenn Murray, you know, I would like that type of player to come at Fulham. I'm not against them bringing in this striker, but I think that if they do, they need a different type of striker.
Yeah.
That's what they need. This striker seems to be similar to the type of players that they have right now, which is fine. He might be able to score more goals at the Championship than he did in France. That's great. But that doesn't mean that you don't need other options, Scott. That, to me, I think they need two strikers.
Yeah, and I had nothing with Martin when he came in. You know, he was that type of striker. I'm pretty sure that he's going to cause a few problems at Derby this season. But he wasn't a settled striker. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be statistically looking at players like this. And, you know, part of statistics has to be the nature of that player, not just what he, you know, he does as a footballer. Because it's important that you have a group of players that all get along. You know, they're mentally sane, and they don't have any baggage. I mean, what would we have achieved with a fully committed Chris Martin? Because however you look at it, Russ, you know, we threw his toys out of the pram and he went on strike or whatever. You know, we suffered in their games. You know, we suffered in that game against Brighton. You know, we dropped points where, you know, thankfully we got into the playoffs, but we probably could have cemented ourselves a little bit deeper and had a little bit more of a chance to get somewhere. And can you blame the player? Yeah, all right, he signed a contract, he wanted it to come. But again, I'm still not convinced that we are 100% turning all the cogs behind the scenes in regards to our transfer activity. Yes, we're getting some things right, but we still are, you know, wasting a lot of time. I look at other clubs. All right, I had an argument this week. Leeds have brought in, what, 10 players now?
They have.
Now,
something like that.
Now, the problem that you got is there that Leeds could possibly implode. New manager, he's got to get them to settle. You know, there's a big, big risk there. Our situation is different where we need three or four different strategic players. But then you look at Borough and they brought in Braithwaite, who is the same type of player as Roland, same type of level. We look at the statistics, they're roughly about the same. He's not minded dropping down to play sort of Championship football. And if they go and get a Sumbalunga, all right, 14 million is a little bit too much. Two quality additions, Rush, not just, you know, sort of 2 or 3 million like, sort of players from Europe or whatever. quality strikers that are going to get you goals, you know. And you look at clubs like this and you think to yourself, what do we actually do? You know, I know that we have a system, but what takes us so long when other clubs can achieve so quickly?
It's a valid discussion, Scott, and that goes back to the system that Fulham have in place. And let's talk about this a little bit. Let's end talking about the both boxes check system. Scouting has to sign off on a player. Stats, the analytics team have to sign off on a player. And apparently that they have this over 28-year-old policy that they won't sign a player over 28. I understand that in principle, Scott, but I think there are always exceptions to the rule. And if you find the right player that's over that age, I think that you should bring him in. You know, I don't want this to be a situation where it's just so rigid that you can't have exceptions. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. What are your thoughts about our transfer policies here, you know, the both boxes check system and this over 28-year-old policy? You know, again, it's speculation, that, but it is being reported that that could potentially be part of what's going on with Fulham.
Yeah. Well, it's getting a little bit like we have a superstore over here called Tesco's Online, where you can order your shopping online. Before you do it, I mean, client of that's going to be sitting in an office and literally ordering players through a check-in system, Russ, and that's how it's going to be. You can't use statistics and checkbooks for every single player that you buy. You know, as I said to you, there's personalities that come into play. You know, there's different other factors. And I think if you go too deep into it, I think that you can actually go the other way. I think it's good to have it. But I think you also just need to trust football, or you need to trust, you know, people in football for word of mouth or recommendations or even what the coach recommends to you. Because we know that's been problems before, and there's been snippets that it's been a problem again. We don't know if it's rehashed information. But a coach should always have some involvement in regards to what players he wants. Now, there was whether the actual transfer speculation was true about people like Jerome Thomas and stuff like that, who were 30 years of age, you know, decent championship player, someone you can bring on to change your game. He holds defences up, you know, he gets your penalties, not a great goal scorer, but I wouldn't mind seeing someone like that at Fulham, you know, in the prime, right?
I wouldn't mind it at all.
You know, cheap, but it changes the dynamics. So you can't have this 28-year-old type thing. I mean, who's it when it signed? Derby went and signed Huddersfield today. Huddleston today, I think it was. Or they're going to sign him. He's 30 now. But what a quality addition for this division. He's still a Premier League player. Wouldn't fit into our system because we've got players there. But you can't turn around and say that. I think the club need to turn around and say that if we are investing in players, you know, we need, and they need to keep up this policy where they sell an asset or a couple of assets per year to raise 10 million, then it's kind of investable players that they need to keep under the age of 28.
Sure.
Not squad players that will do you a job and maybe sort of earn you 300 million because you got promoted, you know?
Right, Scott. And you bring up a good point here. Maybe there should be some kind of policy within the policy, you know, exceptions to the policy, you know, that allows you to bring in, under certain circumstances, a player that can help you, even though he's over 28 years old. You just brought that up. And, you know, that could just do a job for you for a short-term deal. Like you mentioned, maybe it's a loan situation. I don't know if the loan situations are different than signing a player permanently. I you know, and again, this is all speculation, but we've heard now in the media about this over 28-year-old policy. And, you know, I understand why it's in place. I understand why they're doing it. I think overall it makes sense, but I'm always one that believes that if you find the right player, there are exceptions to it, and you should be open to exceptions. I don't like something that's completely rigid that you don't make any exceptions. That's just me. That's just me, Scott.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you should always have a mixture of young and old players. You need leaders, you need captains. I mean, you know, Parker being a prime example, you know, was never going to play again this year, but his leadership sometimes was great. You know, so you always need that mixture. And just because a player's 31, 32 doesn't mean they're over the hill. I mean, you know, in this day and age, due to diets and, you know, sort of training and everything else and the actual human body in general, you know, players are playing on longer, however you like it. The problem that you have of filling a side so young is that you do starve it of that type of confidence and experience, especially if you're investing in overseas players that don't know the division very well. And that's one of the biggest problems. So I think it may have been, and the club must know this, Russ, that every player doesn't have to be under 28. I think it's probably been blown out of proportion, or as we do from a communication point of view, we don't get it across correctly, you know?
I hope you're right, Scott. I really do. I hope it's just lost in translation, that it might be overblown, because if it really is a rigid situation, I think that, you know, that's just my opinion. It's a mistake. I understand it in, you know, in a broader sense, in an overall policy. I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to get younger players and be able to sell them at certain points if they need to. I get that. I understand what they're trying to do to build that core at a younger age. I get all that. But it can't hurt to have some experienced players at an older age.
Yeah.
That's my
opinion. No, I totally agree. And what I don't see them forward doing, and they're doing it right, is what Fulham did last time, you know, when Fibre was coming to his sort of later years and he was selling the club. You know, we watched that side get old over that European Cup and beyond, and we never replenished that side. And the Danny Murphy's become 33, 34, you know, the Duff's become 34, and, you know, and that's kind of what really killed us. The Carragunas is... Brett Haglund, 32, 33, Hughes, 30-something. I don't think we had a player under 30, you know. So I can understand what the club are doing. But, yeah, the odd one or two players, you always need them in and around the club. And I'd be surprised. I would be surprised this season if we didn't see an older head within that squad, be a goalkeeper or something like that.
I hope you're right, Scott. I do. And again, this is just between us. We're talking about this, and I've had a good amount of time to think about this and think about what I've read and think about if this is the policy of that Fulham won't sign a player over 28 years old. And I'm thinking, I understand where they're coming from on it, but please, you know, there are going to be players that are going to help you that might be a little bit older that you can fill in the gaps, that can be that goal scorer. Like you mentioned, Cameron Jerome might be 31 years old. But could he score you potentially 8 to 10 goals? I think he can. Just like Glenn Murray came in, Scott, and helped Brighton. I thought Glenn Murray was the difference to putting them over the top. Why wouldn't you want to do that? And that to me is something that I've been thinking about a great deal, and has, if this is true, if this policy is correct, I would be disappointed that it would not allow a player like a Glenn Murray come to Fulham.
Yeah, totally agree. Probably one of the reasons we never got John Terry, Russ.
I'm okay. I'm personally okay that they did not get John Terry. I don't know about you. Okay. All right, my friend. Great show. Fantastic show. I've enjoyed this, Scott. Before we wrap it up, final thoughts from you. What are you thinking about heading into this weekend?
I think we're doing our usual. We're getting uptight online. You know, we're all panicking, and I'm sure the club know that, you know, we need what we need this summer. Sure. They're not blind. You know, they know we need 3 or 4 strategic players in there to do better than we can last season. A few squad players, but they probably will add to that younger mix of, you know, players around the squad. You know, and I'm looking for us to be in the mix this season. We've kept the core squad. You know, we haven't lost what I feel was direct quality. We've obtained or kept Kearney and Sessegnon. I'm hoping that we keep hold of Fredericks. He seems happy enough. I mean, if we just stick another contract under his nose, if no one comes in calling, I think he might take it. And we know what we've got to do. And I'm not going to take any excuses this season. I don't think many fans are. We've lined these ducks up in a row so many times, and we've always missed a couple. This season is very important to get it right. We had the rebuild last season. We've known from the duration of last season to January to this summer exactly what we need. And if the club don't deliver on that, then I will point the finger at them and say, you know, you've known about this.
I totally agree there, Scott. You know,
I just don't think there's any excuses this time around. Yes, you've got to try and bring players in. Yes, you've got to make them sign contracts. But, you know, we've had time to do this. And I think Djokanovic's vision is clear. We know what he's capable of. If you give him the tools, I think from just ability alone, you know, he will get the best out of that team. And if we arm him correctly and the club back him financially, you know, I think we can really do some damage this season. But if they don't, Russ, and we get to the end of the summer and we sort of think to ourselves, Jallo, you know, Cisse, if we just scrape to forward in, yeah, what we're looking at could be another eighth finish, possibly playoffs again. Championship's going to be hard this season with them clubs coming down. Wolves spending big money. Sheffield Wednesday going to want to have another go at it. Nottingham Forest are going to be stronger. Sunderland coming down. Reading pushing. I mean, I look at that fixture list season in, season out, Russ, and every single time I see about three or four teams from sort of Division One in there, and the rest are all ex-Premiership sides, you know?
Yep.
Gone are the days of spending $2.5 million on a 20-goal season Championship striker. People are spending $15 million now in the Championship.
It's crazy.
And this is how difficult it's becoming. And if we don't capitalise on last season and we don't invest in the right players and get them in on time, I think you'll probably find a situation that I don't think he will be with us much longer. I think he would probably walk if he wasn't backed, because this is the time to do it, you know?
Scott, this is the time to do it. I remember speaking to you, and I think it was the middle of last season when you said it really is about this upcoming season. You said that to me. And yeah. I actually believed you at that point, even though I'm thinking, well, we have a chance to make the playoffs. I'm thinking, Scott's right here. This is the season, the one upcoming, because you have your core. They kept their core players in. Scott Malone goes fine. He is replaceable. The midfield three are intact. That, to me, is very important. Session is intact, and we can build from there. But their core players, especially Kearney, they're still there. Now you just have to build the pieces around them. Impact players that can come in to make a difference. The foundation's there, Scott. This is the season that they could really do it. And if they don't, like you said, it's really on Fulham Football Club, because they have the opportunity. This is the year.
Yeah, you've got to look at the system.
It's a difficult week, but this is the year, Scott. It really is all come. It's coming to a head. It's this year.
Yeah, we will see if this statistical approach and the way they do things through Klein and through Khan, we will see if this makes a difference this season, because this is the ideal platform. For all the criticism that those two have had, this is the ideal platform to come out and show the fans and say, I tell you what, we can go out, strategically get these players on a statistical basis, not spend all this money that all the other clubs are doing, and we can make a team perform that a little bit better than all the other clubs are doing here and push for promotion on a budget. And I'll tell you what, if they do that, Russ, I will walk down to Mosley Park and I'll walk in there and I will actually shake that man's hand and I will say, I was wrong. Because this is an ideal situation for the pair of them to prove us wrong. And I think if they get this right, we could be looking at a promotion push this season. I really do.
If they get it right, Scott, like I said, the foundation is there. Now it's about adding the pieces around the foundation. If they do it, I think it could be a special season. I've already said this, I see them, because again, I'm the internal optimist, I see them adding the pieces and then fighting for automatic promotion, but they have to add the pieces. And striker, they haven't done that yet, and that's a major piece. And center back is also a major piece that they need to add, whether it's Collis and someone else. They need key pieces to add to what they already have. And if they do it, we could have a very special season, but only time will tell, my friend. All right. My final thoughts actually, Scott, involve your website, Friends of Fulham. I just want to mention this quickly.
Yeah.
I had Danny Boy on, and it was great to talk to Danny. He's welcome back on Cottage Talk anytime. He's doing some great FOF reviews along with Darren. The two of them are doing some excellent FOF reviews. They actually started a podcast. I want to recommend checking out the first episode of the FOFcast. There are going to be more. The two of them together, excellent. I enjoyed it. I posted on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I tweeted out. I highly recommend you listening to the very first FOFcast. It was very conversational with these two guys. Highly recommend you checking out Scott's website and everything that it offers. Like I said, the FOF reviews are great, and now you have this podcast as well. It's great. All right. Scott, thank you so much for joining me tonight, my friend. I really enjoyed this.
No worries, Russ. That hour seemed to go really quickly.
Okay.
Time flies when you're having fun or talking or moaning about Fulham always, eh?
It was fun. The time really has flown by. I really enjoyed this. We were talking about originally that we do this for about 30 minutes and we're pretty much coming up on an hour, but it was just about talking about Fulham. Anyways, it is time to wrap this up. For Scott Tanfield, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.